We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92 on the game. A lot of big headlines. Warriors force Game 6 of the NBA Finals with a 106-105 win over Toronto. Kevin Durant tears his Achilles, and that's a huge story. Braves win, tied for first place. They'll send Mike Foltynewicz to the mound tonight against Pittsburgh to try to make it sole possession of first if they get a little help from Arizona, which beat the Phillies last night. And Atlanta United gets ready for Charleston in the opening of the U.S. Open Cup. And through all of this, the Falcons are also making their own headlines with the opening of minicamp today in Flowery Branch. And we welcome into the program Falcons reporter Kelsey Conway, who joins us this morning on the WadeFord.com hotline. Morning to you, Kelsey.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Kelsey, do you get excited about, you know, the start of training camp and things of that nature? I know you work up there every day, but do you still get kind of, you know, stoked when it's about to go down?
Absolutely. There's like a different energy when you walk in the building and you look outside on the field and you see the fields all painted and you know it's mini camp, and the next thing after mini camp is training camp, and that's when the whole thing starts. So definitely.
Yeah, plus we've got the shorter camp and shorter time frame this year, Kelsey, because of the game on the 1st of August, having the fifth preseason game with the Denver game, which is now, when I got to do math here, 51 days away, right? I mean,
yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's coming soon. Yeah, so let's talk about the biggest storylines here. Now, to me, the biggest storyline is going to be the offensive line, because that's where you invested so much of your energy and your capital in this offseason and rebuilding that offensive line. So I look at that offensive line with the two. Are we going to end up starting two rookies? Are we going to start a mismatch? You know, where does Sombrelo and Brown and Carpenter fit in with McGarry and with Lindstrom? And Kelsey, is all this going to work?
Yeah, so actually tweeted out from the last OTA that I said, well, let me preface this by saying it is OTAs, and you really can't read it too much into OTAs because there's no contact. You know, the coaches use this time to try a lot of different combinations, formations. They like to watch different pairings of people. And I said, let me preface this, but for majority of OTAs, when the first team offensive line has been taking reps, whether it be as a unit or when they're doing the 11-on-11, the starting unit has been with Sombrelo at tackle and Chris Lindstrom at guard. So that's, and Carpenter as well. So that's to give you a little insight of what I've seen. I would say as of right now, and, you know, a lot can change. Who knows how Caleb McGarry is going to play and Brown's going to compete. And, you know, this will be a long going battle. It's far from decided. But I would say right now, from OTAs, that's the group I've seen most, with obviously Alex Mack in the center and Jake Matthews over there on the left side. So just to give you a little insight of what I've seen in terms of the offensive line throughout OTAs.
You know, from your perspective, Kelsey, because we you know, we've been chopping this up for the last couple of days and everybody looks at this differently, but from your perspective, who do you think needs to make the biggest jump this season and have the most improvement? Would that be the offense as a whole, or would it be that defensive unit?
Defensive unit, and I think it starts with Tack McKinley and Vic Beasley. I think you know what you're going to get with Keanu Neal coming back on the field. You know what you're going to get with Ricardo Allen. I think the two guys that need to make the biggest jump for that defense to be successful in the way that I know Dan Quinn wants it to be is Tack McKinley and Vic Beasley. And when I asked Dan Quinn yesterday, you know, who are some players that have stood out now that you have a full 2 months to look at of work from these players? And he said defensively, Tack McKinley was the first guy he mentioned. He said Tack came back and he was lighter, he was faster. And it's important to note that this is the first offseason that Tack McKinley's been healthy. So remember when the Falcons drafted him,
he had a shoulder.
He was coming off of shoulder surgery. And then he was also coming off shoulder surgery last year. Remember he had another shoulder surgery on the opposite shoulder last offseason. So this has really been the first full offseason that Tack has been completely healthy. Dan Quinn is working closer with him than ever now that he's committed more to the defensive side of the ball. And when he said yesterday, Tack McKinley as the first guy that stood out to him this offseason, I said, wow, that must be a really good sign, because in my opinion, those two guys are going to have a big year for this defense to kind of get back to the level that they know they can play at.
Talking with Kelsey Conway, Falcons reporter. Kelsey, as we get ready for the first day of Falcons training camp, Kelsey, today we understand everybody going to be there, so it'll be our first chance to see all 90 at the same time. I'm also hearing reports, and you could confirm or deny, that Julio and Jones, and Deion Jones, among others, who's not going to be actually participating, they're going to be there, but not on the field.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Yesterday, Dan Quinn told reporters that I think it's a really, really good thing that Julio, Grady, Deion, and Vic are all here, and Dan Quinn expected all of them to be here, but I think it shows just that this team knows what they have in front of them for this year, and I don't think they want to deal with any distractions or anything. I think they're committed to each other and know, you know, this season the Falcons, they have all the pieces to, you know, make a run for it, so I think that the fact that all four of those guys are here shows, you know, everybody's on the same page, they all know what they can achieve this year. So I think that's definitely a good sign. And yes, it is. That's what Dan Quinn said, that we will not be seeing anything from Julio Jones and Deion Jones as they are rehabbing injuries.
You know, it's funny, Kelsey, you know, we're so used to this guy going out there and doing what he does. But I want to ask about Matt Ryan. What have you seen from Matt Ryan so far? Because out of all the guys that are in training camp, he's probably the one that you can look at and probably glean the most from being out there in shorts because, you know, well, he's throwing the ball. So what have you seen from Matt Ryan so far in these OTAs?
I think Matt Ryan looks fantastic. And I actually wrote an article on AtlantaFalcons.com a couple weeks ago. After talking to Greg Knapp, quarterback's coach, and Dirk Cutter, I asked Dirk, I said, well, now that you've been away from Matt for a couple years now, what do you appreciate most about Matt Ryan? And he said, you know, I really think I took for granted how accurate of a passer Matt Ryan is. And he said, just coming back to that and just seeing that, you know, I think it's easy to, because Matt's just automatic in so many ways. I think it's easy to sometimes overlook that because you just expect that from Matt. But hearing that from Dirk Cutter, you know, was, I thought, really interesting. And then I've kind of been, after Dirk said that, you know, really tuning into what Matt had practiced and how he's throwing the ball. And between the way he's throwing the ball, Mohamed Sanu looks fantastic, and so does Calvin Ridley. They both look like really in shape, and they both look like they've improved this offseason. But Matt looks his normal, usual self. He and Dirk look to be completely on the same page, and they both have talked about how they're really looking forward to, you know, working back together with each other. And I think Matt looks as good as he ever has. And I don't think we talked about it enough, but Matt is playing the best he's ever played. If you look at the statistics since the Super Bowl season, I mean, Matt's trending upwards in his play. He's not trending downwards, and I think that's a really exciting thing because now he has all these pieces around him. He has a coordinator he trusts that he wants to work with. I think it's a really, really good time to be optimistic about Matt Ryan and this Falcons offense.
The Falcons open a mandatory minicamp, spending a couple of minutes with Kelsey Conway. You can check her out as she reports on the Falcons. She is the Falcons reporter, of course, at AtlantaFalcons.com, and much more. Kelsey, let me ask you this about the team as far as one position is concerned, running back. You talk about Devontae Freeman being cleared for play here for this season. This is going to be an interesting battle. There are a lot of bodies back there at running back, and I think the team's only going to – do you think the team will carry three or four? How do you think that'll work? And what kind of competition do you expect in the preseason for those spots?
I think it's too early to give a number projection on how many they'll keep because, you know, you have to look at what they're going to do with the fullback position. But if you would have asked me who I thought stood out from watching the OTAs in addition to Tack, I would tell you that the other guy who really looks explosive and has really just stood out when you watch him running the ball is Devontae Freeman. He looks exactly like his explosive self before he suffered these injuries. And you can just tell he's so excited, and his energy is infectious on that field. Matt Ryan said, you know, all the guys feed around it. And Devontae said, look, I'm just getting back to having fun. So he looks like his explosive self. I think the battle for the number two running back spot is actually going to be a really interesting one to watch during training camp between Ito Smith and Calder Olsen, because I think both of those guys bring different, unique skill sets. And regardless who, you know, on the depth chart wins that number two spot, I think those three guys are definitely guys who will be able to bring something to this offense in their unique ways.
We're talking with Kelsey Conway as we get ready for the start of Falcons minicamp, mandatory minicamp. Another quick question for me in regards to another area of concern that the minicamp is going to have to pose, and that's returner. I mean, we've been going around here with kick returners, Kelsey. You know, we've tried Devin Hester, we've tried Eric Weems, we've tried Justin Hardy, we've tried Tevin Coleman. I mean, the list, Andre Roberts. We had some of the best in the game. Roberts was at the top of the game, and Hester's an all-timer, and we still haven't been able to solve this issue here. And now we're going to have, what, three or four guys that are competing for this?
Yeah. So I think the names to watch for this is Marcus Green, who is back healthy. When the Falcons drafted him, he wasn't able to participate in rookie minicamp in the first couple of weeks of OTAs because he was dealing with a hamstring injury, and he actually made his first appearance on the practice field last week, and he is really quick, just at a first glance. But they've also had Kendall Sheffield, the rookie cornerback out of Ohio State back there, who you guys all know can just spot out fly. They've had some of the undrafted free agent receivers back there, and you know there's always the reliable Justin Hardy. But I think it's definitely going to be a battle to watch for sure, and I think something to not overlook is the Falcons made a change at their special teams coordinator spot, bringing in Ben Kotwika. And we don't talk about special teams a whole lot, but after watching OTAs, he brings a different type of energy to this unit. He doesn't miss a beat. I've seen him be on the details of those guys really, really intensely during practice. So I think it's going to be interesting to watch this because with a new coordinator at the helm, things are going to change. So it'll be interesting to see his philosophy in terms of what he wants out of the returners. And now they don't just have, you know, one guy back there. They have two or three guys who they know, if anything, have electric speed. So I definitely think that's going to be one that we're all going to be wanting to watch through training camp and the preseason, because that's really when you get to see these guys for the first time, because there's only so much you can do during a practice. It's those game reps during the preseason. And like you said, John, Falcons are going to have another game of tape to watch before they make that decision.
A lot of questions. An install happens now ahead of the July 22nd start of training camp. Kelsey, thanks very much for taking a few minutes.
Thanks for having me on, guys. And we'll be out here for the next 3 days at minicamp. You know, we'll have highlights, takeaways, all Dan Quinn, Matt Ryan's press conferences, all on AtlantaFalcons.com. So Falcons fans, tune in if you want to know some more about your Falcons and what's going on at minicamp.
Yeah, I love the website, I have to say.
Yeah, and stay hydrated. It's going to be hot out there. It's going to be hot.
I know.
Well, we'll see you out there today. Thanks, Kelsey. AtlantaFalcons.com.
All right, thanks, guys.
Falcons reporter for Falcons.com. She does a great job of covering the team and the website. If you've never gone to AtlantaFalcons.com, I'll speak for it. It's great. I mean, it really is. If you're a Falcons fan, don't go to the team website. I don't know what you're doing. So there are a lot of those storylines, too. And then, of course, now five preseason games, and that kind of alters the way you have to do things and approach things. I think on balance, it seems to me most years I don't like five preseason games. But given the new parts that you're kind of piecing in here, this year it might be a good thing to have that extra preseason game.
Well, it's going to give your young guys an opportunity to go out there and show what they can do. Because you think about it, in that first preseason game, the Hall of Fame game, you're mostly going to showcase the young guys.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to get a chance to go out there and play in front of an audience that's been clamoring for football for a long time. And they're just going to basically get to show you what they can do. It's a glorified scrimmage for college football. I mean, basically, that's what it's going to be. But you get a chance to see the speed of the game at the next level, and you also get an opportunity to go out there and go through the fundamentals, go through the special teams, go through the personnel changes and things of that nature just to get used to it at this level. Because it's funny, even though football is something that a lot of these guys have been doing a long time, it's different when you do it at a professional level. And so just get used to that, you know. And it gives you a chance to give – it also gives the coach a little bit more film on you to evaluate you. Think about it like this, John. With these mini camps, these OTAs and things like that, you're being evaluated totally different than you used to be when I played the game. That means that every time you go out there and you get reps, whether or not you know what's going on or whatever, you're being evaluated. So the fact that, you know, they throw all this stuff at you and you're able to retain it, you're being evaluated for that. So anytime you can go out there and show the coach what you can do, it's good for you as a player.
Again, we'll be out there covering it with our team from 92.9 The Game all 3 days. We'll bring you the story tomorrow morning. So you want to be here as we cover the Atlanta Falcons in their mandatory minicamp. But as mentioned, a lot of headlines, Atlanta United playing tonight, Braves trying to get into first place, NBA and whatnot. There's also an update now that we have just gotten in from Boston on Big Papi, and I want to pass that along to you, and we'll do that on the other side of the break. Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. From the Kia Studios on this very busy Tuesday, as Tanitra told you, you know, getting ready for all these big events tonight. I took some time here, you in the last half hour or so, to go through a few websites and compile some information updating David Ortiz and Big Papi and his situation. I went to WCVB, which is one of the big Boston television stations, to the Boston Herald, to Fox News and to Complex Sports, and this is what I came up with. Maybe I just go ahead and read this, and then we can. This is the very least. And remember, before I read this, remember we first got word, and it was like no big deal, you know?
Yeah, his dad and everybody was talking about, hey, he just got, you know, it was a through and through, no big deal. He's going to be around for a long time. Then reports started coming out, like, they started to remove stuff, and, you know, his liver was damaged, and I'm like, oh, that's a big deal. That's a big deal.
All right, so let's go ahead and read you the very latest, and again, from different news sources, and we'll go ahead and fill you in. Retired Red Sox slugger David Ortiz landed in Boston in an air ambulance late Monday night after a targeted shooting at a bar in Santo Domingo forced doctors in the nation of the Dominican Republic to remove his gallbladder and part of his intestine.
Yeah, that sounds a little bit more severe than they made it out to be.
Ortiz, 43, arrived in Boston around 10:30 p.m., after the Red Sox sent a medical plane to transport him to Mass General Hospital, which is one of the leading hospitals in the country. The former Major League star, known by the name Big Papi, was shot at close range in the torso at the Dial Bar and Lounge in Santo Domingo, and that video is online. You can find that that particular hit. Red Sox President Sam Kennedy, who said, our medical team here in Boston and doctors in the Dominican Republic have confirmed that his condition is still serious. The police in the Dominican Republic say two men entered a bar, arriving on a motorcycle. One of the men shot a single bullet into Ortiz as patrons ran for cover. Another fled on foot. Officials arrested a second man, Eddie Vladimir Feliz Garcia, who was then transported to the hospital after being attacked by the crowd at the bar. And there's video of that, too. He got worked.
Like a shift.
Yeah.
They beat the brakes off of him.
Police did not confirm the suspect's motives, but a rep for Ortiz said that there is not a single doubt that this was the act of hired killers. Why? We don't know. I mean, why were hired killers targeting David Ortiz? We don't know. But hired killers. So there was a hit put out on him. Two other people were injured in the shooting. Did you know that?
Yeah, his friend. The reporter. One of his reporter friends was injured. He was shot in the leg. But his was a through and through.
Right.
Because that was the report that I read that morning. They said it was just a through and through. Then you come to find out it was way worse than this person reported.
Dominican TV host Joel Lopez, I hope I'm pronouncing his first name correctly, was with Ortiz. He was hit by the same bullet. After being shot in an attempted robbery, Ortiz reportedly told the doctor, please do not let me die. I am a good man. So that's what we led. And by the way, I should update that. That wasn't an attempted robbery. This was, you can see by the video, it's not an attempt at robbery. Nobody's trying to steal anything. A guy rolls up in a motorcycle, jumps off the motorcycle, runs up to Ortiz, pulls the trigger, jumps back in a motorcycle, takes off. So, yeah, this is David Ortiz, and we're just updating the situation surrounding him because everybody kind of pulling for Big Papi at the moment. And wild, wild story.
Yeah, I've heard different versions of this. I heard that it was because he was fooling with somebody's wife. And, you know, if that's the case, that's unfortunate. You know, that it got to this, but it also tells you if, you know, you can't be fooling with somebody's wife because some people, you know, they take that very, very serious. So hopefully he pulls through. I think he will pull through and you know, everything will be okay. And hopefully they'll find the guys that tried to, you know, that did this terrible crime.
Yeah, this awful crime. We'll update you as we get the condition of Big Papi. And again, he's currently in surgery at I don't know that. He's currently under observation in serious condition at Mass General in Boston.
I should have known something was up when they said he was at a clinic. because that was the first report, was that he was at a clinic and they were removing bullets and stuff. And I'm like, hold up. If I'm shot, I want to go, like, hope, God forbid that happens to me, but don't send me to urgent care. I'm not, don't send me to urgent care. Send me to Grady. If there's any, if you want to speculate what I'm trying to say, if I can't talk or whatever, if I got shot, hopefully that don't happen, but send me to Grady. I mean, don't send me to urgent care. Don't send me to rapid response. Send me to Grady. That's where I want to go.
Yeah, obviously there's a lot more to this story. The first thing that we have to do is make sure that David Ortiz is okay. And then after we make sure that he's going to be able to get through this.
They'd be like, what the hell was you doing messing with that man's wife?
You know, what
all the women, like if that's the case, like after he heals and everything is fine, what the hell you doing messing with that man's wife? If the reports are true, because it was they say it was a drug kingpin's wife. And all I would think all the women in the DR that you could, your big poppy that you could possibly deal with, you fooling with that man's wife. Now that, you know, come on. Come on now. Come on now. You can't. Yeah, come on now. It's too much. You're taking penitentiary chances when you do things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even though he is from the Dominican Republic and says that, you know, security there could be improved. He was in a what was considered to be an upscale area of Santo Domingo, but that obviously is, you know, not enough security for him. I mean, they were obviously trying to target him. So we'll see what happens with Big Poppy.
Yeah, and luckily the guy only pulled the trigger once.
Right.
Like for real though. Like it could have been way worse. So, you know, you gotta think twice, man, about, you know, if that's the case.
One of them Sopranos hits where they unload the whole gun into
you.
Yeah, you know?
You gotta think twice, man, if you know, you talking about, you know, fooling somebody's wife, can't be doing that. It's a no no.
Yeah, well this guy didn't obviously do his job very well because he think about this. Those two dudes that were on that motorcycle, they got some problems. You want to talk about penitentiary problems? They didn't finish the deal. They now know who they are.
The one cat that I saw the video, he took a beat down.
Yep.
He caught a nail. Maybe he had a change of heart after he pulled the trigger, but still.
The first one, because he ain't going to last long. I mean, if that's in fact true, that it's a drug kingpin, and he said that to the police,
who knows?
You're going to the penitentiary. You're not going to last long in that penitentiary.
Who knows? But it's unfortunate that, you know, for Big Poppy, he got shot. And another thing, you know, fooling somebody's wife. You don't fool with somebody's wife.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, that's just part of the baseball story. The other big baseball story for us is that the Braves are tied for first and they can move into sole possession if they win tonight and Philadelphia loses. I don't know what's going on right now, Hugh, in terms of home runs in Major League Baseball. It's insane the number of home runs that are being hit.
Six dig the long ball.
Twice this year we've had one team hit 8 home runs in a game. Both times that game involved the Arizona Diamondbacks. The first was the Dodgers hit 8 home runs in a game against the Diamondbacks early in the season. And last night the Diamondbacks hit 8 against the Philadelphia Phillies, including the first 3 batters of the game who went back-to-back-to-back against the Phillies last night in a game that featured 13 home runs and a new Major League record for most home runs in a game. So hopefully, and the Braves hit 5 by themselves last night, 2 by Ozzie Albies, and hopefully the Braves are warming up too.
Yeah, it's getting warm. The ball's starting to fly a little bit more. People get excited about that, man, because even though last night it was not as sunny, well, obviously, because it was at night, but you know what I'm talking about. Like during the day, you know what I'm talking about. But it was humid. It was humid. That was what I was trying to say. It was humid. Well, it's still sunny at 7 o'clock, Bo. Don't be laughing at me. It's sunny at 7 o'clock. A little bit, just a little bit.
Well, we're certainly following and monitoring what the Braves are going to do now with the rest of this series here. We got Mike Foltynewicz on the mound tonight against Chris Archer.
Is he on the clock? Is he going to have a short hook too?
You know, in a way, yes, and in a way, no. He is he's certainly being monitored. I don't know what to do with Kevin Gausman at this point. I mean, I'm at my wit's end with Kevin Gausman. I'm done with him. So
I would think that, you know, both of them. I think that Foti is going to get a little bit more little bit more rope tonight as opposed to Gausman. I just feel like that because, you know, he has that whole it takes him a while to get going thing going against him. So I think that he will get a little bit more leeway than they gave Gausman last night. I think in this scenario, Gausman is the odd man out.
Because if you bring up, at some point, Dallas Keuchel joins the team. Now, we don't know when he joins the team. Hopefully sooner than later he would be eligible. Unless somebody goes on the IL or something, he wouldn't be eligible until next Monday. But you never know. Injuries happen. So he could be with the team before then. We have a scheduled start for Gausman on Saturday. that I look at and think, okay, I'm not really up for. I know you say give him another shot. I'm not ready to give him another shot.
No, I think they are going to give him another shot. It's not on me. I think that's what the plan is. I think that's the plan. You know, and I think last night was just an indicator of how short of a leash that you're really on. Like, son, like he even said that. He was surprised that he got yanked as quick as he did. But with that, John, that just tells you that, listen, your rope, you're almost at the end of your rope as far as being a starter is concerned. So if you got to go and get off the pot, and I think that you're going to get another opportunity, but you can't come out and have the kind of innings. You can't have those 2.23 innings like you had yesterday. Because if you do, you're definitely – it's definitely a no-brainer at that point. I think that's what it was. That was a wake-up call. When I look at that and look at how Brian Snicker has been all season long when it comes to this pitching staff and how patient he's been, so much so that it's made us upset as fans. For him to pull the trigger the way that he did last night, number one, his patience ran out, and number two, he's like, listen, I don't really have that much more time left. And, you know, they alluded to something about that in the broadcast last night about how the advantage of having Keuchel up is that no matter what you get, he's going to be a guy that's going to eat up innings. That has not been the case. And that was a huge indicator last night when you look at what Gausman did and the fact that you had to have Sean Newcomb come in and do what he did for you last night. Got the win last night, as a matter of fact. So he's in a situation now where he's thinking like, dude, I got to go out there and I have to show them, you know, that I'm, number one, I'm coachable and that I deserve to be here. Now, I think that, you know, to be honest, that might be a little bit too little too late, but it would go well for you if you went out there Saturday night and put together seven pretty good innings.
In his last seven starts, all of them have been bad.
Yeah.
Seven,
I mean, I get it.
Bad starts.
No, I get it.
And you know, 30 innings or so, 30 runs, over 40 hits. I mean, it has not been good. And to me, I wouldn't start him again. I would go ahead and spot start Tukey, or I would spot start Sean Newcomb. Or I would find somebody on the injured list suddenly and start Dallas Keuchel. I think Dallas Keuchel, what he did in Rome last night, shows me he doesn't need to start another minor league game. Didn't forget how to pitch. He's ready. He's ready whether he pitches another game in the minor leagues or not. He's ready. So it'll be interesting to see what the Braves choose to do. Andy Bunker and Randy McMichael coming up top of the hour. We do want to remind you that also those two are going to be broadcasting midday at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw on Saturday from noon to 3. Hang out midday show, noon to 3 Saturday in Kennesaw with Andy and Randy. That's Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, noon to 3 on Saturday, and they're up top of the hour. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.